Heavy volume on northbound 95 from 895 up to the Beltway in Healthwork with an accident being cleared from the left lane. This is updated service of Compassion International. For more traffic info, go to sigalert.com. I'm Paula Young with your Baltimore area traffic.
88.9 FM reminds you that the views expressed on WEAA programs are those of participants and not necessarily those of Morgan State University, the staff, management, or underwriters of Baltimore's home for cool jazz. WEAA 88.9 FM.
I do this for my culture.
For the culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me, folks. Certainly want to let you know that support for WEAA is provided by Live Baltimore Fall 2018 Trolley Tour. It's coming to Baltimore Poly High School on Saturday, September 22nd from 8:30 a.m. through 1 p.m. You can meet and greet real estate professionals while experiencing various neighborhoods. More details at livebaltimore.com. All right, folks, tonight we are going to have a Friday conversation. I'm really excited because we have a few things we want to get off of our chest. And we're going to call this tonight Friday's Fire. Can we do that? Can we call it Friday's Fire? I feel like being in a fiery mode. Let's get into some fiery topics. Hopefully, as we have the conversation, we want you to join us. Always, of course, we want you to join us on air. Also, join us online at Forticulture889 on our Facebook page, as well as join me on my personal Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad, FarajiMuhammad. All right, folks. Let's talk about it. See, let me see. Where can we start? Oh, where can I start tonight? Let's talk about love. Oh, love. How I love you so much. I love love. Do you love love? Do you have that feeling? Are you in a relationship right now? Are you in a space where, you know, you're looking to talk to someone, you're meeting someone new, you're going on to your favorite dating app? All right. If that's you, then tonight's conversation is something that you do not want to miss. This is all about love. Yes, well, at least for the first hour. tonight we want to talk about love. And I'm asking this question. Should there be an education, some real conversation, some real teaching about love? Should there be? One psychologist and author says that as much as we have sex education, why don't we have love education? And I like that question. I really, really do, folks. I like the question of why don't we have love education? Why don't we have that? Why don't we sit down and talk? If we could talk about the physiology of our bodies, what happens when you see someone that you're attracted to? What happens when somebody says something that was so sweet? Oh, my God, he's so sweet. Oh, yes, he's going to be with me forever. Then how come we don't have conversations about love, how it changes things, how it causes the chemicals in your body, the sensation, the feeling, quote unquote, of love really changes the dynamics of how your body operates? Yes. And the big part is that when you experience heartbreak, when you experience disappointment in love, how it causes us to, in some cases, check this out, folks, in some cases,
to lose a sense of control and reality. Did you know that? Well, that's what's happening right now. There's a new book that just came out called The Incurable Romantic and Other Tales of Madness and Desire, where a British psychologist by the name of Frank Tallis gives readers a peek inside his therapist's office, and a sense of how otherwise reasonable people can go crazy over love. Now, look, here's the thing, folks. I'm not going to just have this conversation by myself. No, as much as I like to think I'm the love expert. No, I'm not the love expert. However, the fact is, I do have, we're going to be talking to relationship expert Ms. Kristen Young to give us some insight about why it's important for us to even be educated about love. Sometimes we are in this, we have kind of grown up, I think for both men and women, that we have grown up into this conditioning that love simply happens. We call it falling in love, right? That's what we call it, falling in love. And if you actually think about it, it's pretty interesting that we use that terminology, falling in love. That means that you really have no control over yourself, right? We have to keep in mind, though, in different cultures and different countries and societies, and even within different religions, love is not left up to quote unquote fate. Nope. There is a process by which you choose your significant other. They call it a courtship process, right? Or they call it a process of getting to know. But there are real parameters. There is a structure by which you get to learn all that you can about your possible life partner. Some people have bucked against this whole idea and this structure, saying, nope, I don't need that. I just want to make the choice on my own. But when you look at the numbers from the divorce rate to the number of people that are actually on dating apps in 2018 looking for love, it shows a different picture, right? And when we say, oh, I'm looking for love. So I'm just always wondering, so is love like someplace, you know, hiding around some dark corner, lurking behind the fence? It sees you walking around, and next thing you know, it's like running, like, oh no, here comes somebody looking for me. Or is there so much, there's much more to love beyond the feeling, beyond the tingle that you feel in your palms? And that's just not money, folks. That's beyond all of those things, that there is a real science to love. And that we may just not know the science of companionship, the science of mating. We don't know the science behind the feeling of love. Can that be why that divorce rate among in this country is so high? Can it be why the institution of marriage, especially for this current generation of millennials, is not looked upon favorably? Could that be the reason why when we get into marriage, the disappointment sets in? All types of negative feelings set in. And most importantly, the hope that we had, the expectation, is no longer fulfilled. These are just some of the big questions that we'll have tonight as we talk to Ms. Kristen Young, our relationship expert. But we want to talk a little bit about what this psychologist, Mr. Frank Tallis, had to say in his book, because he went even as far as this, not just having an education on love, but he says that love, as a when things go bad in our love life and people turn a certain way that you didn't expect for them to turn, or you didn't expect for yourself to turn, that we are medically should be diagnosed with a disorder. Wow. Yep. So the fact is, he makes the point that we cannot deny its power to that love as a disorder, we can't deny its power to destabilize and distort. He estimated that sexual jealousy and rejection has motivated up to 10% of murders, as well as a significant number of suicides. He said, quote, in the modern world, we've lost faith in God and spirituality, but we still have faith in love and particularly romance. It has for many people a kind of redeeming quality. I think that often love and sex are surrogates for the kind of things that spirituality provided. Is he on to something? I think Mr. Tallis might be on to something. And I want you to be on to something, too. I want you to be on this conversation because I want to hear your tales. Even if they're the craziest tales that you've heard of people just taking love in a whole different space. I want you to join me. 410-319-8888. Also, you can certainly post your comments on our Facebook page at For The Culture 88.9. Look, I got to take a quick pause. When we come back, we'll talk to reactions expert Ms. Kristen Young and see what her take is about love being an education and not just a feeling. Stay riding with me. It's all happening on this first hour of For The Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. We'll be right back. All right, folks, peace and welcome back to For The Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me. All right, folks, we're going to talk about love tonight. There's a new book that just came out from a British psychologist called The Incurable Romantic and Other Tales of Madness and Desire. It's a book that chronicles the various cases where people have suffered from being lovesick. And the psychologist, Mr. Frank Tallis, makes the point that love can take you in such a different space. It should be deemed as a disorder in some cases, right? Medically, like you could be diagnosed. I've heard the old saying, you can be that you suffer from a broken heart. You know what I mean? Like when you hear of couples who have who have married and been married for a long time, lived together for a long time, and one of the spouses passes on, and then you hear the story of the other spouse passing on, you know, shortly thereafter, that they suffered from a broken heart, right? And movies will make us feel like love is this very beautiful space, which it really is. But of course, they totally gloss over the reality, day-to-day elements of love. Right. They make us feel like it's all happy and love until the children comes in, till the bills start coming. I mean, you know the story. So tonight we're asking questions like, one, should we be educated on love like we are educated about sex? That's the first question. And then two, should being lovesick or when you are going through a really, really tough time within your love life, should you really be diagnosed medically for being for having a disorder? Really good questions, right? All right, joining me for this conversation, because I can't do this by myself, folks. I can't do this. Faraji would be spitting out some advice. Next thing you know, you'd be right in the station talking about how I caused you to have a divorce. I don't need that on my conscience, right? Nor do I need that on my very sensitive heart. So to take the burden with me, yes, is the relationship expert, Ms. Kristen Young. Kristen, thank you so much for being back here with us here on For The Culture on WEAA.
Faraji, that was a scary setup. I don't know if I'm ready.
Well,
let's go ahead.
Kristen.
I'm like, Lord, do I need a lawyer first?
Yeah, you do need a lawyer. Let me tell you something. People's lives are in your hands right now, Kristen.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
People's sanity.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I can't do this by myself. I'm going to drag you right up in this piece. That's right.
All right.
So let's talk
like
about.
Blindsided. Let's go. Hey, All right.
You act like you're blindsided. You do this for a living. Are we talking about relationships today? So let's talk about this. So Mr. Tallis makes the point that we should have an education about love like we should, like we have about sex. What are your thoughts on that? Do you agree or disagree?
I totally agree, and I love that. I loved, I was reading the article, and I love that he put that out there, because so often we hear the need for sexual education. And, of course, it's very important because that is the physical portion of love. Ideally, when you are in a romantic relationship and you move on to an intimate relationship with your spouse or, you know, for many people, for the, you know, their intimate partner, that sex is the physical display of love. And it's that next level intimacy. But love itself needs to be learned, because there's a natural level of love that we inherit and that we exude through our, you know, just being, you know. I'm a firm believer that God is love, and there's something innate in us from birth and how we connect with our families or what have you. But there's also something that happens as we continue to grow and as we develop into our own individual beings, learning who we are and how we love and how we receive love. I'm sure you've heard, and many of your listeners have heard of, the five love languages, and it talks about the importance of recognizing that the way we give love is not always the way that we receive love, and they're normally two separate operations. So in that alone, just learning how to love people and how we need to be loved is important, but first starting with knowing how to love yourself. So there are so many different pieces and different levels to love, and understanding this in just the basis of what love is and what it means to one another and what it means to relationships, that's powerful, and that's completely separate from sex.
Completely separate. You talked about the five love languages. That's the book that everyone knows by, well, not everyone, but if you haven't read this book, it's a wonderful book by Dr. Gary Chapman. But the five love languages that he has identified, and this book has really kind of gotten people to think twice about themselves, like you mentioned, Kristen. But he talked about the five love languages: physical touch, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and words of affirmation.
Correct.
And one, I think a big part of that, you saying loving yourself, is to recognize, or at least to be able to acknowledge, which love language speaks to you, right?
Absolutely.
That way, when you connect with somebody and you're looking to make them into a potential partner, you can say that at the very beginning. Look, bruh. You know, and I'm talking about, this is what sisters say. Look, bruh. The physical touch is not my thing, but if you mow my lawn and get me coffee in the morning, you all good. Acts of service is my thing. And being able to identify that within within yourself. And then identifying which the love language for your potential partner, or for your mate, or for your spouse. And I think that's very, very important for us to have that conversation. But Kristen, you're saying that it's important for us to have this thing outside of intimacy. Because now we got to learn about love and sex. Like two classes.
Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, what most people can often identify with is the idea that love is almost identical with respect. So we have to understand, because even on the job, in your classrooms at school, your parent-teacher relationship, your parent-child relationship, your student-to-student relationship, coworkers, as well as your intimate relationships or your romantic relationships, there's a level of respect that is identified with love, and there's a level of disrespect. I mean, there's a level of disrespect that is identified with I feel like he doesn't love me anymore. I feel like she doesn't love me anymore. So there is an understanding of how to love and respect another human being. Mm. And then, of course, the type of relationship you have varies, and the way you show your love is going to vary. But again, starting with knowing how to love yourself and what it is that you need and what it is that you have the capacity to give,
yeah,
that is important. That's very, very important in any relationship.
Very, very important. I want to jump to the calls because folks are chomping at the bit, Kristen, to try to figure out.
I'm sure that phone line is lighting up. Yeah.
Trying to figure out why they weren't told this years ago. We're going to save somebody's relationship tonight, folks.
Yes.
That's how we're going to do it. We're going to save somebody's relationship. Don't thank us now. Just send us the check in the mail for Pledge Drive. But look, we are going to save somebody's relationship. All right, let's go to the lines. 410-319-8888. All right, Miss Linda, kick us off. Gwen Oak, checking in.
All right, good evening and God bless.
Good evening.
I just want to spread some love. And look, let me tell you, first of all, God is love.
Mm.
And it's a spiritual thing. You know, when you have the love of God, because God said, how can you say you love me, whom you never seen,
mm-hmm.
and hate your brother, whom you see every day?
Mm-hmm.
There's a respectful, you know, love, a brotherly love, and love is deeper than just a feeling.
Yeah. Oh.
Come on, because, you know,
it's not
a lot
about
of people
to have me
confuse,
singing up here.
Confuse lust. With love,
there it is,
and it's deeper than lust. You know, having a desire.
Yes, ma'am.
You may be, you know, you might that lady might admire the way that brother is built. You know, all muscular and all that good stuff. Hey, but baby, that it don't mean that he has, you know, true love or the desire.
Ooh.
To really appreciate true.
Ooh.
Love.
Ooh.
So you've got to, you know, be very careful. And God will give you, he gives, when you have the Spirit of God, God anoints your eyes to see, your ears to hear, your heart to perceive, and your spirit to discern. And what's real and what is not real.
Mm.
And when you love somebody, people who are married, look, it's not going to all, you're not going to always agree with one another, but when that love is there, you sit down and talk it out.
Yep.
And you'll come to agreement and you will respect each other's opinion.
Come on, Miss Linda. Come on, Miss Linda.
All right.
I appreciate you, Miss Linda. Always
people,
good.
Look. Remember the spinner said, true love is to the bone?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, keep on. Look, let's fall in love.
Let's fall in love.
There we go.
Let's fall in love. Miss Linda checking in from Gwen Oak. Oh, my gosh. She's going to have me singing up in here, and I don't even know how to sing. But when I'm in love, I still don't know how to sing. So check this out, Kristen. Because I want to get in further into this conversation, because I also want to bring up the fact that Dr. Talis mentioned that the love disorder, because we got to talk about that, because I think we like love right now, the perception of love right now, especially in this social media era, is so crazy to me. The culture we got. And I know that you see it on your timeline.
Of course.
The little sayings, the little memes about what a man wants, what a woman needs, all of those things, everybody comes up with relation. Let me just tell you, we're gonna try to really bring some clarity and remove the fogginess and the mysticism of this thing into clear focus. Look, folks, check in with me. Let me know your thoughts. 410-319-8888. Post on our Folded Culture 88.9889 Facebook page. And let's continue to have the conversation. Should we have love education like we do sex education? And should a love disorder be a medical issue? Should it be diagnosed as a medical problem? Stay riding with me. Whole lot coming up in the next 30 of For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9. Absolutely the voice of the community.
Hello, I'm Justina Pollard, producer of Today with Dr. K. I just want to take this time to thank you for your donations to the Dr. K Teacher Depot. Your support was so appreciated, and guess what? The doors to the depot are open to any teacher needing water, sanitizers, or tissue for your classroom. Just contact WEAA and tell us what time you want to pick it up. Thanks again for your support. As you know, here at Today with Dr. K, we love our babies. WEAA is absolutely the voice of the community.
Real questions, always topical and always edgy. I'm David Brown. Join me each Sunday at 6 p.m. for another exciting edition of Real Questions on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. All right, folks, talking about your favorite thing, love, outside of politics and all that other stuff, we got to sit down and actually talk about love. According to a new book by British psychologist Frank Tallis, the book is called The Incurable Romantic and Other Tales of Madness and Desire, a book that talks about how this therapist chronicles some crazy cases of people who have gone lovesick. They just could not get over their last relationship, how far they would go, right? Interesting book. But he brings up some interesting things, some interesting elements I think we should discuss. And I'm certainly not talking about these things by myself. We have relationship expert Ms. Kristen Young joining us as part of this conversation. But Dr. Tallis said, look, we should have a love education like we have a sex education. He also said that love, when you're lovesick, it is a disorder, because it has the power to destabilize and distort. And it can take us out of reality. We lose control when it comes to the affairs of the heart. So I want to get your take on it. 410-319-8888 is the number, 410-319-8888. Also check in on our Facebook page at For the Culture 88.9 right now. All right, let's go back to the line, see what folks you got to say. We got African from East Baltimore checking in. African, what's your take?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Now, I know the truth about the love. It says, love not in word and tongue, but in deeds and truth. So the deeds and truth are the two ingredients that's going to help you manifest. You have to manifest this power from God, from Allah. This is from Allah. So anything you get from Allah, you earned it. And so actually, it's a force. See, it's a force that Allah causes to manifest within you. See, because you have a superior energy. That's from Allah. Inferior energy is all this hate and everything. That's negativity. So you have to know how to, you know, manifest this, earn this, you know, love from Allah. This is a gift from Allah. It's a power. It's a force. And so the two main ingredients is deeds and truth. If you be about good deeds and truth, automatically you will be able to manifest the real love from Almighty Allah. And today is Jumu'ah, too.
Yeah.
Allahu Akbar.
Thank you, Brother African, for
Allahu
checking
Akbar.
In. Yes,
God
sir.
Great.
And checking in from East Baltimore. Really, it's really on time, man. That is so true. Kristen, you want to speak to that a little bit? Deeds and truth. Talk to us about that if you can.
Well, definitely. I think that's very accurate. And that goes back to what I mentioned earlier about just baseline respect. When you respect somebody, you're able to tell the truth. You're able to act out of, you know, good deeds, regardless of how you may, Miss Linda that called in earlier. You may have disagreements. You're not always going to see eye to eye with someone,
yeah.
But how you respond in those moments when there's a disagreement indicates your level of love and respect for another human being.
Yeah.
So if you are in that space where you're acting out of good deeds and you're doing what you believe is right, even if you don't agree, that is an act of love.
That is an act of love. And you know what? You're talking about being able to have the emotional capability. You know, there is a wide-ranging school of thought that has emerged over the past 15 to 20 years, which is the study of emotional intelligence, being able to be emotionally aware of how you're feeling at any given moment, but at the same time, not allowing your emotions to overtake you in very critical situations. And being able to acknowledge that, being able to maneuver through that, being able to cope with that, and most importantly, being able to learn how to respond to situations that are not in your favor. And so I think that's absolutely important, Kristen. Let's go to Gene from Pikeville. Gene, you talk about love. It's a self-hypnosis.
I'm on?
Yes, sir. You on, okay. Gene.
It is a self-hypnosis. But Faraji, let's look at what the outcome or the result of love is.
Okay.
It's the procreation of the species.
That's it, Gene.
That's all.
Is that it, man?
That's pretty much it. So what happens is the chemistry that goes on that in effect causes you to fall in love.
Yeah.
The result is a child.
It's a child. Right. So your child is the personification of the love between
the
two.
Right. So you know with your son how it started.
Oh, that's son. Oh, yeah.
The love that you had for him.
There's nothing but love up in him, Gene. That's love.
And the result is the seed that you brought forth, and it's your son. So your love now is dedicated to him and his protection. It's the nesting process.
Now here's the thing, Gene.
Okay.
These other
things are symptoms.
Symptoms.
Now, I apologize.
All right. No. I think you're bringing up something because I've often asked, and I certainly want to get your take on it, and I want to hear from Kristen as well. So when you procreate, when you produce a child by the God's will and grace and mercy, right, a child is born.
Yes.
But sometimes that child comes out of a circumstance that is not, quote unquote, ideal, right?
Yes. That's correct.
And how do we explain that part of it? Because if a child is coming out of a one-night stand.
Because we already said that in a sense it's a chemical reaction that people have.
Yeah.
That God put in us so that we can recognize in another that we have this desire to procreate, right?
Yeah.
And so that happens to everybody.
Sure.
Now, some people have, you know, certain, like the brother who spoke before me, with his religious training, he's sober enough to do it in a sober way. Other people do it in a they're out of control.
Mm.
They don't have that guidance, right?
Yeah.
But nevertheless, they still have that chemistry going on that God put in us. But they're just doing it, they're just doing it in such a way that's literally insane, right?
And so
if it's done and you are insane, then an insane outcome is going to happen. So you have, children who are not loved and protected because they don't have that teaching and that
wait
training.
A minute. Hold on, Gene. Hold on, because you're touching on something. I think you're touching on something. So one is that you would agree with Dr. Frank Tallis, who says that there is a certain level of disorder when there is a balance between the two individuals.
Yes. And there are people who are, for whatever reason, their lack of education, lack of guidance, lack of whatever. But then there are those who have teaching, who have guidance, who have, mentors, et cetera. So you're going to get a whole lot of different outcomes. But again, it starts out with the chemistry.
Right.
And then it ends up with the species being continued.
Now, I'm not expecting you to answer this next question, Gene, but I just want to throw it out there. Can a child be produced out of insanity?
Yes. Because, you know, and I, you know, to be frank, I like joking and stuff, but to be frank, if a person is using Oxycontin, or if they're using fentanyl,
yeah,
they're no less they're not any less a human being. They're just dysfunctional in their delusional state.
Whew.
They can also feel a kindred to another person.
Yeah.
You know, so it's dysfunctional, but yet the outcome is going to be what it is. And then the other thing too is like the sex itself. If you have a relationship, I don't even know why I use cloitus. And so you have a relationship with somebody, and it that is so reinforcing. Every time you do it, you want to do it again.
Right.
This is God implanted that in us. So that we can reproduce. He makes it so satisfying that you want to do it again. And again.
What
and again,
a mighty
again.
Good God, Gene. What a mighty good.
Man,
God is good all the time.
With time on earth and stuff. So, I've been on earth a long time, and I've been dysfunctional all the time. Right? And there are lessons that you learn from your dysfunctionality.
Hey, Gene, my man from Pikesville, I think you brought up some very, very valid points. Thank you so much for checking in. Kristen. Gene is bringing up some very valid points. He actually spoke something about what Dr. Tallis mentioned. He brought up the term of delusional. Dr. Tallis brings up this point. Many of our notions about romance are semi-delusional. One of the main beliefs to do with romanticism is the idea that there is a single person who we are fated to meet, and it's in the stars. Even rational people subscribe to this belief. If you really believe that, then if a relationship doesn't work out, if the one proves to be unsatisfactory, then you are bereft and there are no other opportunities. Oh my gosh. So
wow.
Much to unpack, Kristen. I'm telling you, I'm excited thinking about love because I love this conversation, man. I'm trying to hold myself together, but let's talk about this, the delusional side. Gene mentioned something that this level of insanity and dysfunctional place that we often operate from. And I think that that's where we operate from. We operate from a dysfunctional place.
I agree to a certain degree.
No, you didn't come. No. You started off wrong, Kristen. The point you coming onto the show is to agree with what I have to say.
Oh, well, then I'm
all right,
go
ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Husband.
Yes, ma'am.
No, I definitely agree to a certain degree.
All right.
One of the things that I talk about all the time, especially on for women, one of the challenges that we face, because more often than not, we will see that delusion show up in women more than we see it in men.
Mm.
The challenge that I see so often, and especially because
you lost
I'm raising two little girls, we train our boys and our girls differently. We raise our little girls more often than not. Little girls are raised on Disney princesses and this idea of what being a mother and being a wife is supposed to look like at an early age. We give our daughters the kitchen sets. We teach them how to cook. We give them baby dolls to show them how to change diapers, how to be like mommy and feed the baby bottles just like mommy. So we're training our little girls to be wives and mothers at a very young age. At that same age of 2, 3, 4 years old, we're giving our little boys G.I. Joe and SpongeBob and you know, nothing that's necessarily, very little that is family oriented when it comes to what they're watching and what they're playing with.
Mm-hmm.
So we're raising our boys and girls very, very differently. So our little girls are hearing about finding that Prince Charming at a very young age, and that's what they're raised on. They're raised on being this young woman who is found by this handsome prince and this handsome man who comes to save her, and that's what she's believing at a young age. This is what I'm looking for. So when she becomes a teenager or older and ready for an actual intimate relationship, that's what she's had in her mind for the last 15 years. I'm looking for this one guy who's going to come and save me, and this idea of one. And although I firmly subscribe to the idea of staying committed to one person and marrying one person for life, that doesn't mean that there's only one person in the world that you are compatible with. It's about making a choice and making a decision to say, out of all the people that I've met and what I know about you, I believe that we have a great chemistry and a good connection, and I believe that with what you're looking to do and what your goals and dreams are, we can work together, and I'm going to make a decision to choose to be with only you for the rest of my life. That does not mean
so it's
if
not,
my
it's,
husband dies, it's, there's nobody else.
Let me just put that into the prenup. But it doesn't mean that you necessarily are falling in love. You're making a choice. So there's still the individual, the man in that or that woman still has power to decide how their love life will be. You're not falling into love.
There's a level of consciousness.
Come on now.
Listen, there is a level of unconsciousness that happens in that connection process.
But is that good, though? That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what Dr. Tallis is saying. Like, it's semi-delusional, right? Because you talked about this level of romanticism, and I'm just questioning, should we continue to be in this? I mean, why can't you be happy but conscious? Why can't you be feeling a certain level of joy, but still conscious about what you're doing, what's happening? You know what I mean? Why does it have to be like you're asleep?
No. I don't think it has to be this whole, you know, unaware. You know, there has to be, in order for you to have a mature relationship and to actually grow the relationship, you have to be conscious of what's happening and where you are and where you're going.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a great level of consciousness, but I think there's still a level of unconsciousness there's a level of unaware that happens when you are connecting with someone. It's just like, you know, this person came out of nowhere and just, you know, I just woke up with this person on my mind today. I don't even know, you know, I don't even know what this is about. And,
sure.
You know, but you tap into that and get that clarity. But there is going to be a certain level of unknown going on.
A certain level of unknown. All right, let me go back to the phone lines, see what folks got to say. Also, we're going to just talk a little bit about some of the comments that we're getting on our Facebook page. Rob from Forest Park, what's your take on this? Love.
Well, first of all, Mr. Faraji, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. Miss Young? I love your attitude. I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
I'm listening.
Okay. Now, there's L-O-V-E and there's L-U-V. Today, anything goes. Now, you can laugh all you want. Now, I'm old head. I know what I'm talking about.
I know, Rob.
Thank you. Hey, look, I got a call from one of my family members. She's 45 years old. Now she's booed up and she's in love. And I said, okay. You know, and she has a teenage daughter. So she doesn't think it's right for her to ask her boo for money. And, you know, at first I was shocked. I said, no, she's lost her mind. So, Michelle, I want to know if both people are working and if mama runs out of money, can she ask that man for some money?
Okay, can the daughter ask the man or can the woman ask the man?
No, not the daughter, the mama. When when she said that, I fell on the floor, but I got up. I said, what are you thinking? I said, you booed up with him and laid up with him? But she feels as though she's being I understand you have young listeners, Mr. Faraji, so maybe a lady of the evening, she won't accept this money. Is there something wrong with that?
The answer is no. There's nothing wrong with
thank you
asking.
Okay. Hey, look, I just want to let you all know there's L-U-V and there's L-O-V-E.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I follow you.
Thank you very much, and I love you. But, Mr. Rod, you're laughing, but you know it's true.
Hey, Rob, I'm tripping, man, because you know what? I've heard this before. Women who have a very hard time asking their man for money. Now, you know, and that and rightfully so, right?
Okay.
But it's a real question, man. And I'm glad you brought it up because I know there's some sisters that are like feeling like, you know what? I mean, as much as I love this guy or I'm really feeling this dude,
yeah.
Like, I don't know if once you ask your man for money, then you don't know who you're going to get at that moment. You know what I mean?
And I told her, beware, Holmes. I said, if you start asking for that money, I guarantee you he'll be gone. So I thank you all for your time.
Honestly, I mean, if we can be honest, that is a good test. Because I was definitely one of, and honest, if I can be completely honest, to a certain degree, I am still kind of that woman. I mean, my husband and I just celebrated 10 years yesterday. So we are, you know, in a really, really great space right now. But I remember when we were dating, and I was in a position where I just lost my job, and I'm trying to work things out. But we were dating at the point, so there was no way I was going to ask him for money. Now he did know I was out of work, and I kept saying I'm cool, I'm all right, I'm working things out. And he would offer to give me money, so I never asked. But every from here and there, while I was in between, he offered to. But I do think that is a good test for some relationships.
That's
just
a perfect
to do
test.
That ask and see how he responds in that moment and how he responds afterwards if you do receive that money. Or if you don't receive that money.
Right.
How does that affect your relationship?
And you know what? One of the things my wife told me, she said, once I knew that I could ask you for money, first you never stop asking. But that was a joke, folks. It was a joke. Okay. But the fact is, once she started, she knew she was comfortable to ask me for money. Then she knew that there was something really special about what we have. And I never made it a big deal. You know what I mean? And so I think that is a great answer, Kristen, that it is the test. Now, I don't think there's no absolute answer because I think it's also contingent upon how long you've been dating somebody, right? How long you've been with somebody. Has that trust been established prior to that point? So I think that's a big, big question. Let's go to India out of Woodlawn. India, talk to me about love. Should it be an education about love, just like sex education?
Hi, Farajah. How are you?
I'm good, India. How are you?
I'm good. I think there could be a love education. However, I think that the main focus should be communication.
Yeah.
Because it mentally, verbally, physically, it's about communication. If there's an issue, how do you communicate with each other?
Yeah.
When you're courting, when you're in a relationship, when you're having issues, when you break up, it's still all about the communication. How do you communicate with this person? How do you communicate in this relationship? You know, those are, you know, lines and things that need to be laid out in the very, very, very beginning.
Mm. That is absolutely true.
If you can communicate well, you can say, well, you know, I don't even think this relationship is going to work. Some people don't even know how to communicate, and they keep going and keep going and keep going. And before you know it, you're into something. You're like, oh, my God, how did I get into this?
Right, right. So here's the big question. So here's the other thing, India. So do you think that being in a relationship, that being lovesick should be something that should be medically diagnosed? Like the impact of that.
So we have a whole lot of sick people walking around here.
Oh, why you got to talk about me to my face, India?
All I'm saying is if you're going to medically diagnose it, there's a whole lot wrong with a whole lot of people.
But no, but see, but some people believe that because, and here's what, and I just had this conversation today. I think for a lot of guys, right? We have one bad relationship, and then we want to create warfare on all women, right? Same thing with women. We see one bad relationship, and next thing you know, the hell of all of these cats. One bad situation.
If you can communicate well, really,
yeah.
You can even break up well. I mean, it's really all about the communication.
You can break up well, not everybody else.
I mean, no. I'm divorced. My divorce did not go well. Trust me on that.
Well, you're laughing about it now, so I'm happy.
But truly, it's all about the communication because afterwards you still have to communicate. It's really about how do we communicate?
Yeah.
I mean, it's about laying out those lines in the beginning because a lot of people confuse love with sex, with physical things, with so many different things, is not always love. If I have sex with somebody, but I'm not. If you are, then it's not love.
Right, right,
if
absolutely.
If I'm feeling more heat in the whole physical thing, or sure. I'm feeling tingling or whatever, that does not mean I'm feeling love.
Right, right.
No, but it may not be love.
Nice. Kristen?
What I was going to say is the communication point is definitely important, but prior to that, you have to be able to know what love is and what it is that you're communicating. So I think that's a very valid point. But prior to that, we have to be able to know what it is that we want to communicate and how to communicate what we need to communicate. Because a lot of times that's how you fall into that situation where you have people just saying, well, I don't know. It's just something. I just don't know. I just don't feel right. Or, you know, and when we fall into that I don't know trap because we haven't allowed ourselves to truly process who we are and what it is that we do know, what it is that we do need. And we have to get that clarity first, which is part of that love education, loving yourself and knowing how to love other people, so that when you are entering into a relationship, friendship, or what have you, you can better communicate to say, oh, you know what, I know exactly what this is, or I know exactly what I'm feeling right now, or I know exactly what's making me uncomfortable, so I can clarify that for somebody else.
That's what I'm talking about. And India from Woodlawn, thank you so much. It's always great to talk to you. Damon from Annapolis checking in. Damon, what's your take on this conversation?
Hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't know who is responsible for this conversation tonight, but I think it is a divine conversation. I was just sharing with a colleague earlier in the week that this should be taught in school. I'm an educator, and we often talk about social emotional competency, but I think specifically talking about love is so important. Earlier in the week, I had a young man that was distraught because his girlfriend broke his heart. He was in love. He's 16 years old. And I said, how do you know what love is? You know, what is love? And one of the previous callers, or I think your guest, was speaking to how we train and teach our children, girls and boys, differently. Boys really don't know what love feels like. You know, a girl can give them attention and they feel, you know, their emotions tickled and it's, oh, I'm in love with this, you know, girl. That's not love. Attention is a part of love, yes, but just because a girl is giving you attention, that doesn't mean that it's love. So I think we should absolutely teach love competency in schools so that we can clearly identify what love is and what it isn't.
You know what? Oh, my goodness. I love the way that language that you use, Damon, and I really appreciate you from checking in from Annapolis, being an educator, being a part of this conversation at all levels. Love competency, folks. Are you competent to even experience love? Oh, my goodness. Look, folks, we're going to take a quick pause when we come back. Buddy from West Baltimore, Michael from downtown Baltimore, Cheryl from downtown Baltimore, JC from White Marsh. And of course, we got relationship expert Miss Kristen Young as we are talking about love on a Friday night. Should love education be taught like we do sex education? Do you think that love should be, when you're lovesick, that it should be a medical diagnosis? I want to throw another one out there. Have we become semi-delusional about this whole idea of meeting the one? And of course, any other issues relating to relationships. Stay rotten with me. We're going to continue the conversation in the second hour. Stay rotten. It's For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.